Nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Okay. So I don't think I introduced myself. If you are new, my name is Matthew, and so excited about today. So as you heard, 7 people are being baptized today, just so pumped and thrilled. Some of you are here because you know someone who's being baptized, and we're so glad you're with us, that you're visiting here today. I hope you're encouraged. So we're going to get to that in a moment, but what we want to first do is open up the Bible. So if you have a Bible, feel free to open it. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story that actually is about baptism in the Gospel of John. For those of you who are new, we're walking through the story of Jesus. And today we have an interesting story about baptism from the Gospel of John. So this is from Jesus's life. And so we're going to listen to that here in a moment. But I want to encourage you that God is doing something here at North Langley. And one of the things I want to encourage you with is tonight, come to our potluck. We're coming at 5:30, bring food. If you're really gifted at making food, make something awesome. If not, feel free to buy a cheeseburger at McDonald's and bring it. We can slice it up into little pieces and make it a potluck. But come, because what we're going to do is we're going to come and hopefully in unity, ask some good questions, but we have some things we want to see happen in the next several years here in the life of our church. And so we'd welcome you to come. It's called Vision 2017. If you have no idea what that is because you're new, just feel free to come, eat some food, listen in. We'd love to have you there tonight. So that's at 5:30. But God is moving. God is doing something, and not just with Vision 2017, but actually in the lives of people. In the last 2 months, we're hearing about people connecting to God in ways that are incredible, and we're so thankful. It's amazing to watch God move in power and grab hold of people's lives and turn them upside down. And he's doing that in numerous ways. Specifically, at least 5 people have given their lives to Jesus for the first time in the last number of weeks here at North Langley. And we are so excited about that. And so maybe that's one of you and you're here today and we're pumped for you about the new life that you have in Christ. But not only are people coming to know Jesus for the first time, but some of us religious people are encountering the love of God in a new way and in a fresh way. And God is touching our lives. And so we're just so grateful. God is moving. And so this morning, because we see that God's Spirit is moving in the life of our family here at North Langley, we want to echo the words of John the Baptist in our text this morning, who says, "He must become greater, I must become less." Amen? He must become greater. I must become less. As we watch God move, we want to echo these final words. And just so you know, these are like the final words that we hear from John the Baptist in the Gospel of John. These are his final words. He must become greater. I must become less. And so today is Baptism Sunday, the day when 7 people will publicly surrender to Jesus. They will say with their body what they're saying with their entire life. They're going to go back into the water as an image of death. They're dying to their old life, and they're going to come up out of the water, cleansed, washed of their sin, and showing the new work, the resurrection, the new life, that they're born again, what Christ has done in them. It's going to be powerful. This is a picture of transformation. Death, life. Sinful person goes into the water, dirty, they come out cleansed by Jesus. It's a powerful Sunday because these 7 people will say what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. Now, here we are. If you're new to North Langley, we're walking through the life of Jesus. And here we are in this story about John the Baptist and Jesus. Both John the Baptist and Jesus in this story today have followers. They're called disciples, these followers, who are baptizing people. And so in your mind, go back 2,000 years, picture yourself out in the wilderness. John has his followers and they're baptizing in a river. Jesus has his followers and they're baptizing in a river. And I want you to hear the story. This is from John 3:22-30. Listen to what happens starting in verse 25. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man," okay, so they're talking about Jesus, just so you know. So these are followers of John the Baptist. They say, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. Okay, picture the scene again. Out in the wilderness, hundreds or even thousands of Jews are coming out into the wilderness to be baptized. What's going on? Well, God is doing this like crazy new thing in Israel. It's going viral. God is calling these people out into the wilderness to repent of their sin, to get ready, because someone is coming. So we as Israel, we got to get ready. We got to go out into the wilderness. We need to repent of our sin. We need to be washed. And John the Baptist has been doing this for quite some time. He's getting the people ready. Come on out. Get washed. Someone is coming. And as you heard a few weeks ago, as John is doing this in the wilderness, one day he sees Jesus. And Jesus comes out. And what does John say? He points and he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here he is. This is the one I've been telling you about. He's here. This is why I'm doing this whole thing. He's here. And he's testified, here it is, that Jesus is the Messiah. But what we should hear is Jesus is the King. The Messiah is the King, the long-awaited King of Israel, the one that would restore the nation of Israel, the one who had been spoken about for hundreds of years. John the Baptist is saying he's here. He's finally here. So he points to Jesus and he says, it's him. I saw the Spirit of God fall upon Jesus. Jesus is the King. He's here. He's the Messiah. So that was then. If you'll remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. But now, sometime later, he's out in the wilderness and a classic case of jealousy arises. Jealousy. Any of us struggle with jealousy? All hands should go up. You see, an argument breaks out among some of the followers of John the Baptist and this particular Jewish guy. Okay, so they're arguing, a couple guys. And you can see that they're arguing about how to become clean. If you have your Bible open, you can see that. They're talking about washing and cleanliness. They're kind of arguing about baptizing people. But here's the deal. You need to know, this isn't just a religious argument about baptism. It's jealousy. It's absolute jealousy. Listen to John's followers. Everyone is going to him. John the Baptist, listen, buddy, like we've been following you. We've been a part of the thing that you're doing. But look, everyone is leaving us. Everyone is going to him. John, Jesus has a better following than we do. John, what are you going to do about it? Poking John. John, we're following you, obeying you. And now you testified about Jesus. And look at his following. You were the one who pointed him out. And now you're at fault for this baptism program that's competing against ours. Now, you don't see all that in the Bible, but I'm just trying to take you there in the moment. This is what they're feeling. So, okay, North Langley, this is a classic case of baptism competition. Baptism competition 101. Jealousy is rising up. Who's baptizing more people, Jesus or John? Who's ahead in the baptism race? Who can do cooler baptisms? How many people are coming to us? How many people are going to them? Baptism envy. If you're new to Christianity, this is something that could still happen in the church today, right? Oh, they do cool baptisms in a cool location, right? Baptism envy. Well, here's what I love. Here's the best part. So John the Baptist is sitting back and he's listening to this, his followers. And he says, yeah, pretty cool, huh? Catch this. John the Baptist is watching the sunset of his career and the dawn, the growth, the bursting forth of Jesus' ministry. And he says, it's awesome. More, please. Let it keep happening. To be honest, the more people that leave me and go to him, it just fills me with joy. You see the word joy in the Bible there? Fills me with joy to see people go to Jesus. When they leave me and go to Jesus, that fills me with joy. Okay, what's going on? Who responds that way? Okay, picture this. Let me take you, maybe this is more pressing. I'm just going to give you a window into my life here. Some of you know we're doing a church plant. We're church planting in the next year. And we've welcomed the amazing Jeff and Michelle Renault to our staff team. They're going to be leaving North Langley to launch a new church. They're church planting. We're so thrilled. This is huge for us. I'm hoping that many of you will feel called to go with them to the church plant. But here, as I was preparing for the sermon, I was thinking about John the Baptist. I thought, what if you all left? Right? What if it was just me in this room preaching to my wife and daughters? Would that sting? Yeah. Would it affect me? Absolutely. I would start second guessing everything. And who knows? Tanya loves Jeff and Michelle. Maybe she and my girls would feel called to go. I'd be standing here all by myself. Ouch. So you can imagine what John the Baptist followers are feeling. They say, everyone is going to him. And John the Baptist says, I like it. I really like that. So what does he actually say? What he actually says is this. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. So John starts by saying to his own followers, he says, listen, you can only do what you've been called to do. And God specifically called me to make the people ready to receive the king. Listen, I've been clear this whole time that I'm not the king. I've been getting all of you ready to meet the king. And now the king's here. My job's done. This fills me with joy. And he uses a cool image to express this idea of the king arriving and him kind of fading. He says this in verse 29, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. What's John saying? Watch this. He says, this is like a wedding. And he says, and I'm the friend of the groom, or in our words today, I'm the best man. So Jesus is the groom. He's the king. I'm the best man. I'm just preparing things. I'm making things ready. You see, in a Jewish wedding, the role of the best man was to oversee the details of the wedding. The best man would lead the procession that brought the bride to the groom's home for the ceremony. So you see John the Baptist's role? At that point, when the best man brings the bride and the whole wedding, you know, the big, you know, train of people, when they arrive at the groom's home, the best man's job is done. He's no longer the focus. The best man kind of fades back. He's now just happy to be there, happy to have served the groom, and his services are no longer needed. You see, the greatest joy for the best man is to see the wedding happen successfully. The greatest joy for the best man is for the bride to meet her groom. I had the opportunity to be a best man at my friend Darren Duick's wedding. Some of you know Darren. He now lives in England, but the wedding took place in Northern Ireland. And in the summer of 2012, my wife and I traveled to Northern Ireland, and I stood there by his side. I was there, right there in this super cool little church in Northern Ireland. It was awesome. And it was an insane wedding. It was like a huge like orchestra with a pipe organ. It was wild. And I gave a speech and I prayed at the ceremony and we celebrated the wedding. But it would have been kind of awkward if I didn't let my friend have the spotlight, right? For me to toast myself at the wedding ceremony, for me to suddenly jump in and include myself in their vows, or for me to just photobomb every picture that they're in, or for me to not want the wedding to happen so badly that I direct Diane on the wedding day to a different church, to show up to an empty church where no one is there, or worst of all, on the wedding day for me to drop to a knee and propose to Diane. All of this would be inappropriate. Do you agree? The whole point of being the best man is to serve the groom and then what? Fade away into the background. And that's what John the Baptist does. He fades away. Northangley, look at where we're headed here. Is Jesus so in control of your life that your priorities, your agendas, your plans are fading into the background only to allow his priorities, his agenda, his plan to rule in your life? You see, John the Baptist has done his deed. He's been the faithful best man. He's pointed the bride to her husband. He's pointed Israel to Jesus. Once bride and bridegroom are together, then his role is done. And with great joy, he fades from the picture. And John ends with this. These are the final words in the Gospel of John, as I said a moment ago. He must become greater. I must become less. Some of your translations say, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, this is not less human or less loved or a worm, as it were. This is not worm theology. That's not what John the Baptist is saying. What he's saying is this. Here it is. The king is here and he has no rival. The king is here. He has no rival. North Langley, Jesus has no rival. There are none who can stand beside him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he deserves our highest praise, our deepest love, and our most humble obedience. He's the beginning and he's the end. The king is here and he has no rival. North Langley, the Bible is clear that Jesus is king. And his coronation took place upon a wooden cross. His crown was made of thorns. His kingly robes were torn from his blood-stained back. At his coronation, his hands and feet were pierced for the sin of the world. At his coronation, he cleansed the world of sin. 3 days later, after Jesus was crowned king upon a wooden cross, he rose from the grave and he beat death itself. He conquered the grave. Death is now working backwards. Life is flooding into the world because the king is here and he has no rival. And that, North Langley, is why 7 people today will fall back into the water of baptisms. Baptism, that's why they're going to die to their own life. That is why we die to our old life, because he alone is king. He alone can wash us. He alone can purify us. He alone has the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Therefore, what are the implications of that? Of us having a king? It means charismatic teachers, religious leaders, and pastors have to bow their knee before Jesus because he has no rival. It means every politician, every dictator, every monarch, and every military general must bow their knee before Jesus because he has no rival. It means every judge in a courtroom, every businessman, every terrorist, and every televangelist must bow their knee before Jesus because he has no rival. Jesus is Lord over every opinion that I have, over every movement I'm a part of, over every thought that takes place in my mind, over every program I'm in, over every establishment, every government, every church, every economy, every agenda on the planet. He must become greater and we must become less. There can be no jealousy because he has no rival. So our agendas must become less. Our plans must become less. Our opinions must become less in light of his opinions and his heart and his agenda and his great love for the world, because he has no rival. He's fully in charge and he is to be fully worshiped. And so if Jesus has all authority, if the king is here and he has no rival, if he's the only one that can cleanse us and purify us from sin, then here's my question. What is it in your life that is impeding genuine devotion to Jesus? What is it? Man, this is a question we ask almost every week here at North Langley. If Jesus is king, what is it in your life that is impeding genuine devotion to Jesus? See, John the Baptist would not allow jealousy to rise up because the king had come. And with great joy, He doesn't cling to a jealous heart. He just lets it go. So what are you jealously holding on to? What are you jealously holding on to? Pride. We could all just go ahead and say yes. That's all of us. Pride. Yes. Bitterness. Greed. Jealousy itself. Someone else. Lust. Anger. Fear. The constant need for things, consumerism, materialism. What are you jealously holding on to? What is it in your life that is impeding genuine devotion to Jesus? Or finally, God wants to do a new thing in us, in our hearts. It's a new thing because it's an old thing. It's something he's been doing for 2,000 years. Transforming us, calling us to repent. Him coming into our life and reigning, sitting on the throne. What's standing in the way of him fully transforming each one of you? And so my prayer this morning is that the Spirit of God would flood you with the love of God, that every rival would be stripped away as you joyfully watch him become greater and you and I become less. And God, that is our prayer today. As we listen to John the Baptist, as we see the great joy he had in letting go, in giving up jealousy, letting it go, and seeing you come and reign as king, God, would you flood our hearts with a great joy? For some of us, we're stuck. We're so stuck in our anger. We're stuck in our bitterness. We're stuck in our greed. And all of it is coming between us and you. And we pray that you would be king over our lives. Holy Spirit, would you come and move in power? Lord, we need you. We need you desperately. We thank you that as you were crowned king, that you died for the sin of the world. Thank you for loving us, even though we're sinners. Thank you for rescuing us. And we pray that you would flood our hearts with the joy that John the Baptist had as we watch you reign in our life. Come and heal us, Lord. We love you. Amen. Will you stand with me as we continue in worship? So North Langley, there on the banks of a river 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist watches Jesus eclipse his ministry. And with joy, he says, he must become greater and I must become less. And in this place today, 7 people are being baptized and they will say with great joy, he must become greater and I must become less. So North Langley, let's celebrate and let's sing as we watch these 7 people fully bowing their knee to their king. Because remember, the king is here and he has no rival.